Bonjour tout le monde. As I am a francophone, I shall refer to my notes, so I called upon your indulgence on this. First of all, I would like to acknowledge and pay tribute to my colleagues at the panel who have devoted so much time and energy on this very fundamental issue, and I know there's many people in the room who put much energy into this, and I really recognize this. I'd like to thank the McGill Institute for inviting One Drop at the Table. As a McGill graduate, I really feel very proud of this. And as we've heard Dr. Adil giving some statistics, I'll try not to go into that, but my focus as we work with One Drop with people on the field, I want to bring to you a human perspective to how water affects their life. So the fact that water is so vital, it gives it a unique status, that of a common heritage to which all human beings should have access in sufficient quantity and in quality as well. Giving people the right to water is giving them the right to life. Water, however, as Dr. Adil said, is unequally distributed. For example, in the U.S., a person consumes an average of 575 liters of water per day, while in Mozambique, it is 10 liters per day per person. As we've heard, so many people do not have access to clean water, about 900 million human beings, and one in three persons do not have access to sanitation. It is when you meet and learn the daily struggle of one human being, like the one I met, who's right there on the left. Her name is Ivania del Socorro Chavarria Rodriguez, whom I visited in Nicaragua a few months ago, that we can fully grasp the importance of water. This situation of unequal access is unacceptable and has led to the emergence of a social movement that supports universal recognition of the right to water as a fundamental human right. There is, however, no need to create a new right because all the documents, all the laws are there, one of them which being the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says that everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and of his family. And there's also the Covenant of Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights that defined water as a social, cultural, and economic good, as well as a fundamental human right. So water should be provided in sufficient, safe, acceptable, physically accessible, and affordable for personal and domestic use. So the issue, therefore, is not making water a fundamental right. It is recognizing this right and ensuring that it is implemented. In another word, it's making sure that water for all becomes a reality. And as Canadians, we have some work to do on that, as Canada is yet to integrate into its national laws the recognition of this right. So water, as we know, is essential to life and is a vital part of development as well. Access to clean water and sanitation, therefore, has a huge impact on many areas of the human daily life, like Ivania's family. The first one is health. And we've heard Dr. Adil saying that so many kids die from not having access to clean water. And one of the ways that we can also try to imagine it, for each kid that died from HIV, there are five kids that die because of unclean water. Or there are more children that die every day from drinking unclean water than in all the world armed conflicts victims. So improving access to clean water could have a huge impact in so many ways. For example, just having toilet facilities could reduce by 30% the mortality of kids. And just washing your hands could have an effect by 40% on the mortality of children. The second impact is on education. Inadequate access to clean water and sanitation deprives many children of their right to learn. Children are often responsible for collecting water, and sometimes they have to walk for several hours to reach a well or lead livestock along a stream of water. There's an image that is so important when we think of it. Every day, in just in South Africa, for all the women and the girl, it's the equivalent that they walk is like going to the moon and back 16 times. So those are hours that they cannot spend at school or studying. Furthermore, some 443 million days of schools are missed due to infection linked to contaminated water. The lack of latrines has a huge effect on girls because when they reach puberty, they are often not going to school anymore because there are no latrines. The third impact is on food security. 70% of the water consumed worldwide is used for irrigation. The scarcity of water resources therefore threatens global food security, particularly in developing countries. Climate change, which causes an increase in droughts and extreme weather conditions, is further increasing the vulnerability of small farmers who are seeing a dramatic reduction in their harvests. So as a result, one in six countries could soon be facing chronic food shortages due to the increased intensity of droughts. The fourth impact is on economic development. Lack of access to clean water and sanitation means many hours are spent either collecting water, taking care of people who have fallen sick, and very often it is women and girls who do that. These hours could be spent in more productive and lucrative activities. The lost school days, the infant mortality, and the loss of productivity caused the worldwide economy an estimated $38 billion U.S. dollar per year. While every dollar invested in water, there is a yield of return of between $4 to $12, depending on the type of intervention. Now, Dr. Adil did mention all the issues around the Millennium Goals. And I just would like to add to that that if the G8 countries respected their commitment of increasing their financial support, there could be, in a very short time, maybe 5 to 10 years' time, but they would have to change it very drastically. Thank you.